This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Wong Shaoning and Lin Mark. It has just gone past 7:36 in the morning, Friday the 30th of October. And in about half an hour, we're going to have the breakfast grill. Lin, tell us what's on today.
So it's going to be an exciting day. Khoo Soo Chong is going to be speaking with His Excellency Dag Jalin Dunfeldt, Swedish ambassador to Malaysia, because Sweden has really deviated from the norm in two major ways in recent history. It garnered much attention for its approach in tackling the coronavirus crisis as it opted out of strict lockdowns. And in the face of a refugee crisis, Sweden accepted more asylum applications than any other EU nation relative to population size. So we're going to be speaking with the Swedish ambassador on this, as well as bilateral relations and trade later on the breakfast grill.
Yes, so stay tuned for that after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, looking at another country, we are looking at China this morning because they unveiled their first glimpse of its economic plans for the next 5 years, promising to build the nation into a technological powerhouse as it emphasized quality growth over speed. Now, the initial details released by the Communist Party's Central Committee yesterday stressed the need for sustainable growth and also to pledge and develop a robust domestic market. Now, while the statement released by the state media following a four-day closed-door meeting didn't specify much details in terms of the pace of growth the policy makers would target, it did stress China's self-reliance on technology as a key national strategic pillar. Now, for more on this, we have on the line Gary Ng, Asia-Pacific economist at Natixis. Good morning, Gary. Now, before we get into the new 14 China five-year plan, what's your take on the 13 five-year plan for 2016 and 2020? Did China actually hit all the points it wanted?
Good morning, everyone. So I think if we look a bit back to the 13 five-year plan, I think at that time, one of the key focus of the market is really on the hardline GDP growth target. So indeed, on the one hand, we see that China has indeed fulfilled some of the target. For example, the double of GDP from the level in 2010, raising the GDP per capita from $8,000 to $10,000. So this target basically fulfilled. However, there are also some targets that probably still in progress or haven't really hit the finishing line because of different reasons. For example, at that time, there's also a target about a 6.5% of above GDP growth. But obviously, this is affected by a different geopolitical risk, also the COVID-19 outbreak, and also the tougher measure to curb leverage later in 2018 and 19. So on that end, I see that part of the target are fulfilled, but part of them, for example, including the Made in China 2025 and also even the Belt and Road Initiative, these are ongoing measures that China is going to do and haven't really fully complete.
And this time, right, Gary, the new plan is expected to focus on quality rather than pace of growth, even possibly abandoning China's always rather ambitious GDP targets. So what kind of policies can we expect China to set to achieve these goals this time?
Exactly. This is one of the probably the key change between the last 5 year plan versus this time. Indeed, there are the official has published 12 different points, and I think one of the key one and probably which is the first one mentioned in the paper is definitely the tech. So I believe that in the future there will be stronger industrial policy given the geopolitical risk to build stronger tech capability, and also because the aging population will start to affect productivity in China as well. So there will be stronger push on the sector, so-called new infrastructure. We are talking about, for example, things like artificial intelligence, 5G or semiconductor, or even big data related field. So these are the sector that can probably drive Chinese economy in the future together with the old one. And second, of course, we cannot also forget the dual circulation model that China has tried to push since the mid of this year. So on this end, there will be more policy on encouraging domestic consumption. And the key is really to find different ways to actually boost the domestic income, of which we see that the disposable income in China has kind of fallen a bit because of the COVID-19 right now. And in the future, that will be very crucial in order to drive this domestic market.
Gary, I'm glad you brought up the term dual circulation strategy, because we have seen that again and again. But what does it actually mean? How is it going to be embedded in China's five-year growth plan?
I think this is really a key strategy that the Chinese authority has been trying to implement basically this year. This is also a response no matter whether it's to the domestic like the slower growth pressure from different, for example, aging population, and et cetera, and also to externally the tougher geopolitical risk. So I think on the domestic end, definitely there will be stronger push to actually keep the high value industry within China. For example, we see that we have just talked about the tech industry will be increasingly relevant. But on the external front, it doesn't necessarily mean that a complete detach basically with the world. But on that end, China will try to gain a tougher and stronger tech reliance so that if there is an external shock, the domestic economy will be enough to at least buffer the majority of it. But on the external front, I think China will continue to try to invest in the world, but on the other hand, and also to basically broaden the external influence.
Now, we do know China announced their plans to go carbon neutral by 2016. How viable is this? And what is there any mention of this in the five-year plan?
I think this is also indeed one of the fields that China is probably perceived as the leader in the green industry. If we look at a lot of the renewable energy target and then also some of the other related industry, we see that there is indeed quite a strong growth in, for example, electric vehicle and et cetera. So on that end, I think going carbon neutral by 2060 is indeed quite an ambitious target for China to fulfill. But indeed, there are also some underlying challenges that China is facing right now. For example, basically, if we are to look at the green industry, the green standard is a bit different if we compare China with the world. For example, in China, green is probably classified as if you improve coal production plant to pollution one, it is still classified as part of the green bond issuance. So in the future, I think these are some of the challenges that China will need to balance between how far they want to push the green industry versus basically keeping the existing economic growth. So for right now, we haven't really seen a very solid detail as in the GDP target in terms of the green industry push. But however, I think that in the future, there will be more target and more incentive for the government to actually provide to the corporate or individual to actually push to achieve this goal.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Gary Ng, Asia-Pacific economist at NetTixis, giving us his view on the China's five-year plan and their drive to really this thing they call dual circulation strategy, which is basically making sure that their domestic economy is robust enough that no matter what happens, another COVID-19 or COVID-20, their economy can still chuck ahead. But it doesn't mean that they are not going to say, hello, globalization. China companies are here to stay and going to be big players in the global market. What were your key takeaways, Lynn?
So, you know, Gary pointed out the fact that China is an aging, does have an aging population. And I think this just underscores some question marks that are still in place when it comes to China's growth. Because thus far, China has been viewed as very much the engine of this region, you know, burgeoning superpower, major economic force. But beyond the next decade, what is going to lie in store for China? Will they be able to continue pushing forward and pulling away even from the other major superpower, the US?
Well, their global plans, their plans to be a global superpower still remain, and that's ambition by 2049. But you're right to point out that they are facing some structural issues, one of which is an aging population. The other one is the hukou system. And of course, question marks over their ability to compete on in the technological race, because at the moment, they don't make chips as well as the US. But we'll be following this story, especially if Biden comes into the White House. Does that change the conversation in between US and China relations? Interesting to follow. But up next, we'll be speaking to Kwe Kim Soon, consulting leader for Malaysia at Mercer on salary trends in the country amid the pandemic. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.